If you would get your book, turn to page 410. Page 410. You may stand, please. Someone told me that it used to be a crisis of the month. Then it went to a crisis of the week. And then a crisis of the day. And now it seems like it's a crisis of the hour. That's pretty good, Lynn. That's pretty good. You know, I heard someone say this morning when they were singing that beautiful song that they always wanted to be reminded of just what Christ did for us. You know, this song was written by Fanny Crosby. She couldn't see. One of the greatest hymn writers of all time couldn't see. But I don't get that from this song. She saw. Boy, she saw everything she needed to see. And you know, it's almost like to me a melody. It's almost like a song that you would play for a little baby to get it calmed down and go to rest. Maybe that's what we ought to do when the crisis of the hour comes, is just remember the cross. Oh, don't remember him on the cross. He's not on it. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you right now. But let's just remember what happened there that gives us that rest. Here we go.
Near the cross of trembling soul, love and mercy found.
Till I reach the golden strand, just beyond the river. That'll get you through anything. I guarantee if you'll sit down and meditate on it, all it's saying is, don't worry. Don't worry. Your future's good. The outcome's already settled at the cross.
Near the cross,
to be back out to God's house tonight. We had a wonderful trip bowling, and I want to brag on the crew that I took. It's really, and Mike went with me as a chaperone, which he offered to volunteer, and I'm like, anybody volunteering to watch teenagers, I'm going to take them, because there ain't a lot of people volunteering to do that. But he went with me, and we had a good time. But I tell you what, we got a great group of young people in this church. It is great that you can take them somewhere and not have to worry about how they're going to act or behave, and let them wander off on their own and do their own thing and know that they ain't going to do something silly and give themselves a bad name and all of us a bad name and things like that. But they were wonderful, and we had an absolutely great time. And I know everybody's wanting to know the results. Everybody's wanting to know the results. I'm going to go into a little bit of detail about the results. So the first game, Sam was leading the whole round. The whole round. Well, on the 10th frame, I bowled two strikes in a row. So I pulled out with about a three-point victory. And then the last round, the buzzer went off, time was up, and Mike won. So the two oldest people there won. So it was a great day at the bowling alley, okay? We had a wonderful time, all right? And I appreciate you all giving to the youth fund so that we can go and do stuff like that. Next month, I've already talked to Lene. We're going to do something with the littler ones next month. Take them somewhere one Sunday after church and go and have a good time and all that stuff, okay? So we'll be looking forward to that, okay? Does anybody, before we take up offering, does anybody have any prayer requests tonight? We sure will remember that. Anybody else tonight? Do what, Helen? Oh, okay. Yeah. The girls are about 90%. When I got home, they were ready to wrestle. But now Lene's feeling worse than she did this morning, so keep remembering her. Anybody else tonight? All right, I'll ask our ushers to come down, and we'll pray over the offering and also pray over these special requests tonight, okay? I'll go ahead and pray. God, we thank you for this night you've given us to come out and to worship you. And God, you've heard these requests tonight, God. You know each and every need, God, and I pray, God, that you will just intervene with each and every one of them. I pray, God, that you also be with the unspoken requests, and I'm sure tonight, God, that we all got something on our heart and on our mind that we didn't mention, but God, you know what they are. And I pray, God, that you'll just bless and be with them. God, I pray that you be with these people that are sick in our church, that you'll just continue to strengthen them and be with them, God, and they're all important. But I also want to say a special prayer for our preacher tonight, God. Our pastor, Dan, I pray, God, you'll just touch him, uplift him, encourage him, and help him to feel better so that he can get back up here sharing the gospel, which I know he loves to do. God, I thank you for the services that we had this morning, for the beautiful singing, for the preaching, God, for the Sunday school teaching, God, and for the youth, the great time that we had today just in fellowship with you, God. I just thank you for that. God, I pray that you be with this offering tonight, that we will just be good stewards, that we will use it the way you would have us to, for your glory and for your honor and for the upbuilding of your kingdom. All these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Sang this song in a really long time, and it is an old song. I was trying to see when it was originally written and performed, and I'm pretty sure it was probably the early 90s, maybe even the late 80s. I don't know. That's how old I am. It's not been that long since I sang it, but the first time I sang it, though, I did sing it with Tom and Les. I brought it to them, and I do think probably it sounds best when there's some male voices singing it. But I love this song. I've got different songs that I love to sing for different reasons. But the message behind this one is, I don't know if I want to say the theme of my life, but it's what I aspire to do daily. And I don't always do it, but when I think about what he did and what then that means for me and the freedom that I have in Christ, I just want to live like that. I want to be held close to him, but still understand that's being free.
As I look back on what I thought was living, I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay. And to think I ignored what really mattered, 'cause I thought the sacrifice would be too great. But when I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even then. And even though it took dying to survive, I've never felt so much alive. For I 'cause it's not my strength but His. There's no greater sacrifice, for I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. As I hear the Savior call for daily dying, I will bow beneath the weight of Calvary. Let my hands surrender to His piercing purpose that holds me to the cross but sets me free. I will glory in the power of the cross. The things I thought were gain, I count as loss. And with His suffering I identify, and by His resurrection power I am alive. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Not I, but Christ that lives within me. His cross will no greater sacrifice, for I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. I will offer all I have, so
get you excited, you got a problem, because that should get you excited. If you were crucified with Christ and you can say now you live, raise your hand and praise to God. Amen. Good to be out to God's house tonight. Good to feel His wonderful presence. I do want to remind everybody that after church tonight, they are having the birthday party for March birthdays over in the fellowship hall, so I'll remind everybody of that. And so I think that was it. Was that it, Stacy? Did I get it? All right, fantastic. And I hope the baby shower went good this afternoon. It did, Brenda? Okay, that's awesome. That's great. All right. Luke chapter 5, if you got your Bibles with you, we're going to start in verse 17 tonight. And we're going to look at one of the miracles that Jesus performed and pick up on some stuff that God laid on my heart and on my mind. And hopefully you guys can, you all can get something from it as well. And I tell you what, the singing today's been great. And the reason it's been great is because it's been anointed singing, straight from the throne of God. And I'm looking forward to the Easter songs that's going to be on Palm Sunday, and then when we come and celebrate the resurrected Savior on Easter Sunday. I'm looking forward to all that stuff too. I can't wait. You know, we should be excited about church. We should be excited about what God's doing in our church. You know, we get excited about everything else. Why not get excited about church? It's the way I look at it. And I know I pointed it out this morning, and Tom made some type of remark about it during choir practice, but I was ecstatic last night at the end of that ball game. And I know it's something we laugh about and stuff like that, but man alive, if I were to reflect back at my life, and if I would look and understand, if I would get that excited about what God's doing in my life and what God's doing in our church, it's untelling what could break loose in here. And I mean that with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind tonight, okay? Luke chapter 5, verse 17. I'll read all the verses that we're going to speak on tonight, and then we'll work our way up from the top to the bottom, okay? And the Bible says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went out upon the housetop and let him down through the tilling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith," and I want to reread that line, not when he saw his faith, but the Bible says, "And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up what thereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God." Glorifying God, all right? Lynn, I'm going to ask you to pray for me tonight. Amen. Thank you for that prayer tonight, Lynn. And before I get into this, I do need to say something else. We had got back from the bowling alley, and I had just parked the church van, and there was three people on the church van because a lot of them went home from the bowling alley. And does anybody remember the preacher saying this morning, the "Are we there yet" mentality? Does anybody remember that? How many of you remember that from this morning? Okay, that's good. I'm glad y'all remember that. Well, I'm glad to know that our teenagers are listening in church, because when I parked that church van, one of the teenagers who happens to be here tonight, sitting right there in that white shirt, looked at me and said, "Are we there yet?" So I'm glad to know they're listening in church. All right. All right, let's go up here to verse 17 and see what God has in store for us tonight. And the Bible says, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching. Now I want to stop right there and specify that the he right here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was teaching. Folks, never let us lose sight that Jesus was a teacher too. Yes, he did many great healings, and yes, he did many great miracles, and yes, he died on the cross for our sins, and yes, he rose on the third day, and all of that was a part of God's plan, and Christ came to fulfill every single bit of that. But man alive, he did a whole lot of teaching too. And I'm thankful for the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The greatest teacher that has ever walked the face of the earth. I've had many a good Sunday school teachers in my time. I've had many a good preachers in my time. I've listened to some good preachers on television and on the internet. And I've listened to some good Sunday school teachers on the internet. And one of the things that I love to do when I get some downtime at work, I love to get on other churches' websites that I know, or I'll get on their Facebook, and I'll just listen to their preacher. I'll listen to their Sunday school teacher or something like that. And I don't think there's anything in the world wrong with that as long as they're obedient to God and following God's holy word. I don't think there's no such thing as hearing too much good biblical teaching. I don't think that there's no such thing as that. So there's not anything wrong with that or anything like that. But let us never forget how great of a teacher the Lord Jesus Christ was. Never let us forget how Jesus Christ and the words that he spoke and the words that he said came directly from God, and God was speaking through us, through through the Lord Jesus Christ, and how it pierced people's hearts and how it opened people's eyes and how that it made people believers and things like that. Listen, folks, that's what it's all about tonight. That's what it's all about tonight. And you know what? The same messages and the same lessons and the same morals that Jesus taught, they are still being taught today, hallelujah. And you know what? They're still good enough. The world may have changed and its morals may have changed and laws may have changed and things like that. But I'll tell you right now, the way Jesus lived was good enough. What Jesus taught was good enough. And it's still good enough today. And it's what's going to be, gets every single one of us to heaven. So Jesus is teaching, doing one of the many things that God called him to do. Well, while he was teaching, the religious leaders show up here in verse 17. That there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town. So these were the Pharisees and doctors of every law. They came from Galilee. They came from Judea. And they came from Jerusalem. So the religious leaders and the writers and the scribes, they show up at this house that Jesus is speaking in. Now, we know that the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they were anti the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not want to follow him. They didn't accept him as the Messiah and things like that. So we're seeing right here that this is setting up to be a situation of great friction. Now, I don't know how many of you remember what friction is when you had science, but friction is when, you know, things rub together. Now, friction can cause good things, but friction can also cause bad things. If your body has got some miles on it tonight, chances are that friction, you may have had to have a knee replaced at some point in time. Or you may have had to have a hip replaced or a shoulder completely redone or something like that. Lynn can raise his hand to that. I'm sure we've all had surgery, probably. If you've not, praise the good Lord for that. But I'm sure there's people here tonight that have had some type of surgery because their body just wore down, a bone broke, a friction of bones and things like that caused some type of tear or some type of damage. And, you know, friction can be a bad thing. But you know what? Friction can also be a good thing. Because if it wasn't for friction that's being created from my shoes on this floor, I'd just go sliding right off the stage. If it wasn't for the friction on your tires that's on the concrete going down the road, you'd just be sliding right off the road. Might even encounter a bear, Mike. All right? But friction also has good things that come with it tonight, folks. So we're getting ready to see a situation to where friction could play a role. Now, if we examine our lives tonight, have you ever came up in a situation where there was a lot of friction that maybe made you uncomfortable, that maybe made you doubt a little bit, that maybe made you want to cower a little bit and maybe hide behind the curtains or something like that? But we need to realize and we need to understand something tonight, folks, that when these frictional situations come up, What a time for our faith in God to shine. What a time for our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to shine. And we're getting ready to see this right here with four individuals that carried this bed and the lame man that was on the bed. Okay, so the religious leaders here, they're crowding up the front of this house, and Jesus is inside this house teaching and healing and things like that. So the religious leaders have come to see what's going on, and no doubt they're trying to find a way to get him arrested. No doubt they're trying to find him a way to get him killed and things like that. But I want to tell you how specific God is tonight, folks, since we're in the Easter season. God has a specific time for Christ to be arrested, and he wasn't going to get arrested before that time. God had a specific time for Jesus to die, and he wasn't going to die before that time. It didn't matter what the Pharisees, it didn't matter what the scribes did. There was a specific time for Jesus to carry the cross up to Calvary, and there was a specific time for Jesus to raise from the dead. The Pharisees couldn't speed it up. The Sadducees couldn't speed it up. The scribes couldn't speed it up. Nobody's going to alter God's time frame tonight. How thankful that we all can be for that. So they came. Verse 17 in the end, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present inside this house. Why? Because Jesus was there. Have you ever wanted the power of the Lord present in your life? Well, listen, we can't have the power of the Lord present in our life unless Jesus is living inside of us. We can't call on God and say, God, give me the power, give me the strength, give me the faith. I want to feel the presence of God. I want to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, I want to feel you fighting this for me. But if we don't have a personal relationship with God, God ain't going to make that happen. That's impossible for that to happen. But hallelujah, when we are in fellowship with God, bless God, we already feel the presence and the power of God. I'm thankful tonight that we come to a church. It don't matter who's preaching. It don't matter who's teaching. It don't matter who's singing. Do you notice something? There's no drop-off in the power of God. It's not better when Dan's preaching. It's not better when Nick's preaching. It's not better when so-and-so's singing. It's not better when this person's singing. Why? Because the one thing that we've all got in common and that we're like-minded is that we all have a relationship with God. We all are one tonight, and it don't matter who's singing, who's preaching, who's teaching. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. We can still feel the presence of God in everything that's going on, and how thankful that we all should be for that. I preached at a church where everybody was always wondering who was preaching. Is Nick preaching or is Ray preaching? And I was a young preacher. I didn't know any better. I was always so excited when it was my turn to preach. I mean, I was in my early 20s, mid-20s. You grow a lot and you change a lot then. I'm going to tell you right now, it don't matter who's preaching. As long as they're preaching from the Word of God and you can feel the power of God in it, hallelujah, I'm having a good time in Jesus. That's all that matters. It don't matter who's preaching, hallelujah. I wish I could have said that when I was in my 20s, but I've learned now. It don't matter who's preaching. It don't matter who's singing. You know, we get so excited. Oh, so-and-so's name's on the sign. They're preaching here. And you get so excited. Well, this group's going to be here. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being excited about a specific group. And there's nothing wrong with being excited about a specific singer. That's not what I'm getting at tonight. But what I'm getting at tonight is God's power is God's power. Don't matter who God's using, God's power is God's power tonight, okay? Verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy. He was crippled. He was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in. So these guys that are bringing this paralyzed man on the couch, when the Bible says they are seeking means to get him in other words, what they are trying to do is they are trying to find a way to get this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great crowd that's formed in front of this house, and they can't get into the house because the crowd is so great. Now, I want to say something tonight, and God laid this on my heart, and I'm not going to feel guilty for saying it all because I'm saying it in the right heart. God knows my heart tonight. But I hope that one day people try to come to this church and they can't get in because we're backed up out the door. Amen. Not because of a number. Not because we can put it in the paper and brag on it. No, but so we can brag on what God's doing. So that we can brag on what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. Can I tell you the greatest drawing power to a church is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit will draw them in and the Spirit will keep them here. Hallelujah. That's the greatest drawing power that a church can have. And that's why it's so important tonight that we all, not just the preacher, but that we all are obedient to the Spirit of God. That's how important that is tonight, okay? Because not only does it do good for you, it does good for everybody sitting inside here, but I'll tell you what, people start hearing about that. You know, God put us in this community at this address for a specific reason, hallelujah. So let's let the community hear about what God's doing in our church tonight, His church tonight, okay? And behold, men, verse 18, brought in a bed of a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him and lay him before him. They knew that the only way that this man would ever be able to walk again was that if they laid him before Jesus. Listen, sometimes we go through things in life. Sometimes things happen to us in life. Sometimes things happen to us in life that paralyze us spiritually. Some things happen to us in life that paralyze us mentally. And the only thing that we can do is take it and lay it before the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful that there's a verse in the Bible that says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Amen. Praise God. If you're heavy laden tonight, if you're carrying a burden and you can't, and it's paralyzed you physically, it's paralyzed you mentally, it's paralyzed you spiritually, it's paralyzed you emotionally, it's paralyzed you in any way imaginable tonight, come lay it at the feet of Jesus and have rest and have peace. Hallelujah. God don't want you carrying it anymore, so lay it at the feet of Jesus. Bless God. You know, a lot of times I see this image of Jesus with his hands out like this. He's just waiting on us to bring it. And we just go walking right out the door. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't have to come to the altar to lay your burdens to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do it in the pew. I understand that and I get that. But wherever you're at in life, take your burdens and lay them at Jesus' feet. Because he wants them tonight. He wants every single one of them. He wants to carry every single one of your burdens so that you can live a free life tonight, okay? Don't let those burdens bog you down, all right? So then that gets us to verse 19. And when they could not find a way, they might bring him in because of the multitude. Now, I love this image right here. They couldn't find a way to get into this house to where they could get this crippled man to Jesus. Well, do you know what part of the people blocking the house were? The preachers and the religious leaders. I don't care to say this because I feel very comfortable here, but how many so-called preachers and how many so-called religious leaders are blocking people from getting to the Lord Jesus Christ with false doctrine and with false teaching and with feel good this and feel good that and all that stuff? Listen, there's nothing wrong with feeling good or anything like that, but also the truth needs to be said. Amen. Also the truth needs to be said. So we like to focus on, I'm glad at this church we don't have that problem here or anything like that. Sometimes we love to focus on the world keeping people from Jesus. Well, there's some churches and some church people keeping people from Jesus too. If we really want to look at it. If you're mad at me, I'm not sorry. I don't care. I'm starting to turn into Tom. I don't know if that's good or bad. Tom just staring a hole through me sitting there. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop. So what are they doing? So there's all kinds of friction here. I told you the religious leaders are here. So no doubt that's causing some friction. It didn't with Jesus. He just kept teaching and healing. But then these men get here, carry this cripple by. They're trying to get him to Jesus, and there's no way for them to get to Jesus because of the multitude that's in front of the door. There's no way for them to get in the house. So that's causing friction. That's causing opposition tonight. There's no way for them to get there. Now, what do we do when we're faced with opposition? What do we do when we're faced with friction? We do one of two things. Speaking spiritually. We keep our faith in God, and we keep going straight on, knowing that God will provide, knowing that God will give us another way, or we just turn around and walk away. That's the only two things we do. And you can say, well, just can't you just stay there and think about it for a while? Well, if you're going to stay there and think about it for a while, you might as well just leave. You might as well just leave. Let's have so much faith in God that we don't hesitate with what God wants us to do. That we don't hesitate with the direction that God is sending us in. And I know that prayer and I know that meditation is extremely important. It's extremely important in every single one of us. But when God has given us clear directions on what we are to do, let's have enough faith in Him that we don't hesitate and we just go right on pushing for the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So what do? They go to the housetop. Now, I can go into houses back then and how high they were and how much higher they are today than they were back then, and they ain't going to do anybody good here, okay? I went down that rabbit trail, and God knocked me across the head and said, "Son, just stay away from that." I said, "Okay." And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop. There was no way they was going to get through the front door. They were faced with some friction. They were faced with some opposition. But they knew somehow, some way, they had to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible don't say how long this man was crippled. I don't believe it does. I have no idea. He could have been crippled since birth. The Bible doesn't say his age. I don't know how old he was tonight. But one thing these four men do, their buddy was laying on a couch. He hadn't never walked, or he hadn't walked in a really long time. And it wasn't the crowd, and it wasn't the religious leaders that was going to keep them from getting to Jesus. They were finding any way possible that they could get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah tonight. Let's find any way possible to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Any way we possibly can. Let's find any way possible that we can get to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the crowd's there, with the religious leaders are there, a bunch of friction, a bunch of opposition. So in verse 19, the Bible says they climb to the housetop and they start tilling through, pulling at the roof, trying to create a hole in the roof and things like that. And then they drop him down. Now, if you read a lot of ancient people in ancient history, the only reason I'm saying this is because I teach 6th and 7th grade ancient history at school. When they would lower a dead body, now this man's not dead, but when they would lower a dead body, when somebody died, especially the Egyptians, they were known for this, when they would place a body somewhere, they would lower it down through the roof. And that wasn't the only ancient culture to do that. The Mesopotamians used to do that to their kings and things like that. But if you go through ancient history, a lot of the people that died that were in high social class, high authority, high power position, they were lowered down. And that was where they were laid to rest at. They were lowered down through the roof. They were lowered down through the ceiling. So I think, you know, you can look at this and take God's word and you can say, well, as this man's being lowered down through this ceiling, are they lowering a dead man down or what? What are they doing? Well, then I got to thinking, death cannot exist in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is too alive. Jesus is too great. God is too great. You're sitting there tonight, a saved Christian. Jesus is in your heart. Jesus is in your life. You are not dead, but hallelujah, you are alive tonight. You are alive tonight because Jesus lives. You and I live tonight. So they're letting this man down through the roof. Now, I like to look at other people's perspectives and things like that. I can just imagine these people that's waiting in line to get to see Jesus. Maybe looking up over there, I can see me and Mike Smith saying, what's going on up there? What are they? They cut me. They cut in front of me. No, they didn't cut in front of you. You should have scratched. You should have fought. You should have clawed your way to the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it meant climbing on a rooftop, hallelujah, to get to him. So they climb up to the roof and they put a hole through the roof and they lower him down from a couch, and he is in the midst of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20. And when he saw their faith. Now, their. T-H-E-I-R. I am not great at English. I am terrible at English. My test scores prove that with my children in school, okay? I am not great at English. But I do know that T-H-E-I-R, when he saw their faith, he wasn't just pointing at the man that was laying on the couch. He was also talking about his buddies that brought him. And man, I got to thinking about that. As Christians tonight, what's the best thing that we can do for somebody that's lost? Pray for them. That's great. But bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing that we can ever do for them. That's why it's so important, you know, to invite people to church that you don't know go to church, that don't go to church, and you know people that are lost. That's why it's so, you're not bringing them to church to fill your pew. You're bringing them to church so that they can meet Jesus tonight. That's why we do that. We're not bringing them to church to meet me or to meet all of us wonderful people. And we are wonderful. We're wonderful because God made us wonderful. Now, that's just the stuff that comes along with it, and I'm thankful for that stuff. But the number one reason we invite people to church is so that they'll meet Jesus. This man would have never, never got to see the Lord Jesus Christ if it wasn't for his four buddies, because he couldn't walk. He was crippled. Can I tell you something tonight? There may be somebody in your life, or there may be somebody out there right now that you don't even know or that you haven't even met before, and the only way that they are ever going to get to the Lord Jesus Christ is if you bring them to Him. That's how powerful that is tonight. We need to think about that when God lays somebody on our heart and on our mind, or when we meet somebody that doesn't go to church, or when we meet somebody that's not saved. And, you know, the devil likes to get us to think, well, you'll see him again. You can ask him then. Or the devil likes to get us to think, well, they'll come across another Christian. I'll just let that other Christian do it. We don't know that, folks. We have no idea if they're going to come across somebody that's going to invite them to church or anything like that. So when God gives us the opportunity, let's be like these guys that carried their dear brother on the couch because he was crippled and because he couldn't walk and because there was no way that he could get to Jesus, that they fought through the crowd, that they climbed up on a roof, that they put a hole through the roof and they lowered him down on the couch so that he would be able to get to experience being beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us do the same thing for our brothers and sisters tonight. Amen. Let us do the same thing. So when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven of thee. Well, wait a second. He's paralyzed. He can't walk. Ain't that going to be the very first miracle that Jesus does here? Ain't the first miracle going to be, hey, buddy, I know you can't walk. I know you're crippled. Stand up and walk immediately. No. Jesus knew what was more important. Jesus knew it would have been better for that man to be a cripple yet be saved than to be able to walk and be lost. Amen. Jesus knew that tonight. And then I began to think about our lives. You know what? Maybe God's got me in the position that I'm in because he knows that it's good that I'm in that position and be saved than to be in another position and be lost tonight. His number one problem wasn't the fact he was crippled. His number one problem was that he was a sinner and that he needed a Savior. Man alive, for the first 13 years of my life and when I reached the age of accountability, I had a big problem in my life. And my biggest problem wasn't finding a girlfriend. And my biggest problem wasn't deciding on whether or not to go to this party. And my biggest problem wasn't becoming the greatest basketball player ever in the history of sports. And my biggest problem wasn't trying to pass a test or anything like that. But my biggest problem was I didn't know Jesus. That was my biggest problem. So Jesus takes care of the biggest problem first. Saves him. Thank God for it. Can I tell you that Jesus is still saving today? If Jesus wasn't saving, we'd be gone, folks. Time would be up. Jesus ain't done saving yet. Jesus ain't done saving the lost yet. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. Verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Like they were anti-God, they were against God. So we got some more friction here. Let me say this about faith, because it was about faith and friction. These four guys let their faith shine through the friction. Let's let our faith shine through the friction. Let's let our faith shine through the opposition in life. Okay, verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? I love that question, and I don't care to say this because it shows how stupid they were, and it shows how in neglect that the Pharisees and the religious leaders were. Jesus Christ was God become flesh, came down here. Amen. He could do it. Jesus can save souls. Jesus can cleanse sins. That's what God sent him here to do. Hallelujah. That's what God sent him here to do. And how we all should be thankful for that. But who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, I want to answer that even though it's a rhetorical question. No one. No one can. God is the only one that can do it. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he knew what they were thinking. You see, they thought that they were just talking amongst themselves, but Jesus knew every word that they were saying. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. So Jesus is saying, which one do you guys think's easier? Do you think it's easier to forgive sins, or do you think and cleanse sins, or do you think that it's easier to tear a paralyzed man to rise up and walk? So he turns the question back around on him. But then in verse 24, he gets very specific about what the most important thing is. And I know I've already touched on this, but we're going to touch on it again. Verse 24, but that you may know that the Son of Man have the power upon earth to forgive sins. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus resurrected. Yes, thank God that he healed the sick. Yes, thank God that he opened the blinded eyes. Yes, thank God that he made the lame to walk. Yes, thank God for the many miracles that he done. But hallelujah, I want to glorify God that he washed my sins away. Praise God. Thank God for it. He said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, after his sins have been forgiven, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. That couch had been a crutch for him his whole life. He depended on that couch to get him from place to place, and he depended on that couch for people to carry that couch to get him from place to place. But ain't it amazing how when God heals us, and how when God touches us, and when how God cleanses our sins, and how we look at how many times God has intervened in our life, we may have had a crutch that we've been holding on to help us get from point A to point B, but hallelujah, when God gets a hold of our lives, we don't need any more crutches, do we? We don't need any more mental crutches. We don't need any more spiritual crutches. We don't need any more physical crutches or anything like that, bless God, because we've become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's cleansed our souls. He's touched us spiritually, physically, and mentally. And the crutches that we depended on in this world to get us from point A to point B, we're no longer dependent on those crutches. But hallelujah, we're dependent on the Son of God. Thank God for it. Go home. He got to go home. For the first time in his life, he got to walk into his own kitchen, cook food in his own microwave, open his own refrigerator and get a nice cold Dr. Enough out. And he did it walking on the legs that God gave him. Hallelujah. That's what I do. I was just portraying myself as this man. Verse 25. And immediately he rose up before them. I've said this before and I'll say it again. When it comes to God, you don't need no physical therapy. When he tells you to get up and walk, you can walk right then. You don't need physical therapy. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house. And how did he depart to his own house? From this house all the way to his house, he glorified God. Hallelujah. When we leave here tonight and when we go home, let's glorify God the whole way home. When you leave your house to go to work tomorrow, glorify God the whole way there. When you leave work to go home tomorrow or to the ball field or whatever you got going on, doctor's appointment, glorify God the way there. When you leave the doctor's appointment and you go home, hallelujah, glorify God the whole way there. Talk about putting you in a good spiritual mind frame. Make you feel good about yourself because of what God's done. Yeah, when we face friction, when we face these things that try to bog us down, let's let our faith in God shine through and see how God works through it, okay? Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. I appreciate y'all attendance tonight and this morning. Continue to remember to pray for each other and pray for those that are sick. And I'm sure we'll have others get sick and things like that. It's just life. But you know what? If you're here tonight and you're sick next week, you got a church that's praying for you. And you got a God that's going to take care of you. Okay? Don't forget that. Okay. It's good to have our little family back from Virginia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, God was with them in Virginia and brought them back safely. So we're thankful for that. That's no small things, folks. Let's not take for granted traveling.
No.
Things like that. God has been so good. So, so good. I just look at all these faces. I promise we're leaving. I just look at all these faces. And God's just been so good.
Amen.
He's been so good. All right. Now I got to find a face to dismiss us. Mike, will you dismiss us in prayer, buddy?
Precious Heavenly Father, thank you once again for allowing us in your house the opportunity to hear the word. Please watch over and bless everyone that had the prayers spoken and unspoken. Please watch over us during the time of health when people needed it the most. Continue to watch over and bless us. If there's someone here that doesn't know you the way they need to know you, please let them come forward. Watch over and bless us throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.